Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this morning I'm going to preach to you on that account of Jesus healing that Canaanite woman's daughter. And for focus, I'll read those words again, verse 21 to 28. Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now this is a striking event when you think about it, brothers and sisters. Here Jesus is in a foreign land, and a Gentile comes to him and asks for help. An outsider, if you will, draws near to the Lord Jesus. And what does he do? How does he respond? Does he welcome her interest? It says, he answered her not a word. And when he did speak, verse 24, he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She was a Canaanite, a rebuff, if ever there was one. And then he said in verse 26, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Why did the Lord Jesus respond the way he did? He did this, congregation, as our great prophet and teacher, to reveal himself, to show who he was, so that he's people might believe in him, so that you and I might continue to embrace him in faith. And so this morning we pay attention to the message of this text under a theme, Jesus Christ uses a Gentile's great faith to teach God's people how to receive the living bread. We'll listen to his instruction about faith, we'll be warned about complacency, and finally we will be encouraged by his response to faith. Take comfort in his response to faith. So Jesus Christ uses this Gentile's great faith to teach God's people how to receive the living bread. And so first of all, listen to his instruction about faith. It says in the beginning of this text, And Jesus went thence and departed unto the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And so the events of our text happen outside the promised land. And that little fact is important. Ultimately, it's a response to the unbelief of God's people. That the Lord Jesus is leaving them for a time. He departed. He goes away. They were criticizing him, taking offense at what he was doing, and for a period, although his focus remained on Israel, for a period he leaves the promised land. It's a form of judgment. But the living bread sent from heaven departs from the promised land. And in that context, when he's not in the land of the people of God, in that context, a Gentile woman comes to him, and what's the end result of this engagement? Verse 28, he said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. And you compare this to the Jews, the Lord Jesus that said in verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's the people of God in whose midst he was working. But to this Gentile he says, O woman, great is thy faith. And so we need to take a closer look at the faith of this woman, to see it in action, to be instructed by what the Lord Jesus is showing. She cried out to the Lord Jesus. That's a cry of anguish, a cry for help. And brothers and sisters, I'd like you to think about what she was going through. Her daughter was grievously vexed by a devil, demon-possessed daughter. And we know a bit about what that was like from other accounts in the Gospel. There was a boy who was demon-possessed. And what did he do? Maybe you know, he threw himself into fire. He threw himself into water. He got bruised. Imagine caring for a child like that. And then there was those two demon-possessed men in the region of the Gadarenes. They were strong and fierce, and everybody kept their distance from them. And so you hear something of the awful situation this mother is in with a demon-possessed daughter. Have mercy on my wretched circumstances, Lord. I'm hardly coping. A cry of anguish. But let's now take a closer look at this woman. She's a woman of Canaan. And as you know, there's a lot of accounts in the Gospels that are repeated in the different Gospels. So Mark also talks about this healing. And when Mark describes her, he calls her a Greek. Obviously, she spoke Greek. And also that she was Syrophoenician. And what that means is she was a local of that area where the Lord Jesus was. But when Matthew describes her, he puts her in light of the Old Testament. She's a woman of Canaan. She's from that family that God had said through Noah, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he will be to his brethren. Canaan. The Canaanites, they were the people whom God had driven out of the promised land because their sin had come to its fullness so that Israel could inherit the promised land. The odds, you could say, are stacked against this woman. But now, listen to her talk. She says, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She addresses him as Lord, son of David. She knew he was significant, that he was the son of King David. And the Old Testament makes clear through the promises and prophecies that it would be a descendant of David on his throne that would have an everlasting dominion, that would continuously expand, a dominion that would bring peace throughout the dominion. That's the Old Testament revealing what the son of David would bring. We're not told how much this Canaanite woman living in near Tyre and Sidon, we're not told how much she knew of all that, but clearly she knew some of that. She seeks help from the son of David in her difficult, difficult circumstances. And then Jesus' response, he ignores her. Not a yes, not a no either. He answered her not a word. He doesn't help her, but he doesn't dismiss her either and send her away. He ignores her. Something God's children can still identify with today, can't we, brothers and sisters? Sometimes when we're in difficulties, it feels like God's not listening. He's not answering. What's going on? And the Lord Jesus is holding himself back from responding to her, because what he is doing, he is testing her. And she didn't know that he was testing her. And if she had opportunity to second guess what she was trying to achieve, now would have been the time. Wasn't it a mistake for me, a Canaanite, to expect help from him, a son of David, an Israelite? But even if she maybe some of these thoughts went through her mind, it didn't stop her from her goal to get help from him. And so she didn't go away, she pressed on. The disciples, on the other hand, did not ignore her. The disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." They didn't want him to help her, but to dismiss her. She's bothering us. In an earlier healing, there was a Gentile centurion, an official in the Roman army, who had come to the Lord Jesus and asked for help for him to heal one of his servants. And the Jews had actually advocated for him. They said, "Lord, he loves our nation. He built us a synagogue." In other words, he's got a claim. Give him some help. But this woman, she has no such claims. And the disciples say, "Dismiss her. She's bothering us." And then finally, the Lord Jesus speaks. He didn't send her away, but he pointed out, verse 24, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." His task as the Messiah was for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to call Israel that was straying, to call them back to the ways of the Lord. And even though he wasn't in the promised land at that time, he was outside in this foreign area, his focus was still on Israel, the people of God. He wasn't seeking out the Gentiles, that's not why he went there, but he was temporarily withdrawing because of the unbelief he was meeting in the midst of the people of God. And so these words of our Lord were not even directed at the woman in the first place. Verse 23, he did not respond to her. He answered her not a word. But these words about his focus being on Israel was a response to his disciples who wanted him to dismiss her, to stop her bothering us. His answer explained, for better or for worse, for comfort or for warning, my work is directed to the people of God. In this way, even though he's responding to the disciples, he's also letting her know with these words, "I wasn't sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He was letting her know he was under no obligation. She had no claim on him, she who did not belong to God's people. But even that didn't stop her. Then she came and worshipped him. And that has the sense of throwing herself at his feet in reverence, honouring him. She puts herself completely at his mercy. "Lord, help me." She's clinging to him in faith. And this time, he gives a direct response to this woman. He says to her, he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Now, first of all, we need to clear up. The Lord Jesus was not being disparaging. He wasn't calling her a Gentile dog, like the Jews sometimes talked about the Gentiles, and they would use a word that spoke about the wild dogs that roam and scavenge. The word the Lord Jesus uses for dog here, you can think of a house dog, even a pet. But the point is, not to deny her food, but to point out the priority of the children. It's not meat. To take the children's bread and give it to the dogs in the household situation. You don't take the bread off the children and feed the animals. Israelites, they were the children. And then you think about this situation in that time. The bread that they enjoyed was not just their food and drink, that's part of it, but all the blessings that came to them as the people of God with all the promises. They were the special people of God whom God said He would look after, who He would provide for. They were the people whom God had promised to send the Messiah. They were the people whom God had promised He would restore the kingdom through the Messiah, make all things go well, restore them unto Himself. And those blessings were there in Israel in the person of the Messiah in those days. He was there in their midst preaching the kingdom of heaven and all the riches that came with that. He was doing signs and wonders, multiplying the bread and the fish, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing all kinds of amazing things, showing the riches that were coming to the people of God through the Messiah. They were feeding richly, you might say. The Israelites were feeding richly at that time in history and the good things God was giving them through the promised Messiah. That's why the Lord's talking about the priority, the children being fed the bread first. But even this reply of the Lord Jesus doesn't deter her. She comes to Him and she agrees with Him even. "Truth, Lord," she says. She doesn't argue with what He was saying, yet she continues to cling to Him in faith. "Truth, Lord." The children have priority, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And that congregation is such a beautiful reply. She accepts her position and the priority of the children of God. And she shows she's listening. That she points out that even in the image that the Lord Jesus uses, that of the children being fed and not taking from that to give to the dogs so that the children go hungry, she says even in that image there is hope for her. Because surely when the children are being fed and some of the crumbs fall on the floor, surely it's okay for the dogs to eat the crumbs. Jesus was the bread that she was seeking to be fed by, the help she was seeking from Him. And she is in Gentile territory, not in the land of Israel. And Jesus is there in her territory, not in Israel. It's the crumbs falling before her. Surely she can have the crumbs. And that's a beautiful response of faith. To work with what God reveals, in this case through His servant Jesus, and to cling to the hope that it gives her. And see, congregation, all the things that might have deterred her, her position, being a Canaanite, the Lord Jesus not responding, and then speaking about the priority of Israel, and then about not taking the children's bread and giving it to the dogs, all those things which might have deterred her did not. And through that, her faith becomes so clearly evident all throughout. She sticks to one thing. Only in Jesus Christ did she have hope for help in her difficulties, in that difficult situation of having a daughter grievously vexed with the devil. She kept coming back to it. "There must be a way for You to help me, Lord, because You are the only way." She wouldn't leave Him alone until He had made her share in the riches of the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, does that remind you of someone else in the Scriptures, who wouldn't let go until he had received a blessing? Jacob at Penuel, when the angel was wrestling with him, and then Jacob gets the upper hand, and the angel says, "Let me go," and he says, "I won't let you go until you bless me." And it's that determination, that tenacity that you see in this Canaanite woman. You might say she's not a physical descendant of Jacob and Israel, but surely she's a spiritual one as she wrestles for that blessing. And that congregation is the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ commends in our text. That confession that in Him alone was there help for her and her daughter in this broken world. And that, you could say, sums up the instruction for us in our text. Faith is to cling to Jesus Christ for all you need, for all the blessings of salvation, for hope, for help, for all that you need for this life and the life to come. To cling to Him despite the obstacles. Faith is to confess all the problems come down to this solution. There is help in Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Despite how it might sometimes seem in the brokenness of our lives. Despite how it might appear that God is not helping. And we've been asking for help for a long time. Faith is to confess there is help in Him alone. So that in sickness, we continue to look to Him for help and healing, even as we use the medical technology that He grants us to use. And we look to Him in times of sadness, so that even as friends and family give us comfort, we ultimately acknowledge that it comes from God through Christ providing that comfort. So that as we go through difficulties, we look to Him, we confess that we will get what we need to keep going from Him. He is the answer. That is faith. To cling to that, no matter how it might sometimes seem. In all of this, the Lord Jesus Christ was revealing Himself. His silence first, the way He does respond, it all raises the question as the narrative continues, would there eventually be help for this Gentile from Him? Her insistence that there must be reveals who Christ, the Lord, the Son of David is. That Son of David who would have a universal dominion. He wouldn't just be a national Saviour for the Jews, but an international Saviour. Only in Him is there any hope for all the nations of the world. That's what is revealed about Him. As she comes to Him confessing there must be help there. And He eventually does help. And this is the faith that He says, "O woman, great is thy faith." And in light of all this, also that contrast with what's happening in Israel, is a warning for us about complacency in faith. And that's our second thought. Be warned about complacency. Because at the time of our text, Israel was not responding in faith. You know, the Lord Jesus had previously warned the people of God. I think of the words of Matthew 11 to 21. And here the Lord Jesus addresses two Israelite cities. He says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida!" And why does the Lord Jesus pronounce woes to them? He says this, "For if the mighty works which were done in you," where He had been working and doing miracles, "if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." What's happening in our text? The Lord is in the region of Tyre and Sidon. And what does He mean? Great faith. And that accentuates His warning to Israel. "Woe to you, God's people, for not embracing Me in faith. Great is thy faith, O woman." And that really comes to us, the people of God, doesn't it? And it raises that question. Are you clinging to Christ in faith? Earnest in seeking all you need in Him? Is your faith your only hope for the future? Are you always eager to learn more about the living bread? This Gentile woman too, she was conscious she was owed nothing. She wasn't asking for bread that had been promised her in the covenant. She was outside the covenant. But she's simply asking for crumbs dropping from the table. And she was clearly happy with anything she could receive from the Son of David. And that gets us to ask ourselves, is that us? Conscious of our own unworthiness, yet seeking everything we need from Him. And our position is far greater than that of this Canaanite. She was a Gentile before Pentecost. And she was simply asking for the crumbs that were falling to her. But we are Gentiles after Pentecost, who have received, as the people of God, we have received the living bread from heaven. We're God's covenant people. We don't have to plead after crumbs, but we have the living bread proclaimed to us in Jesus Christ. Every Sunday, we have the gospel of our complete Saviour proclaimed to us. How eager are we to feed on Him? How carefully do we each pay attention to that word that is proclaimed? Her persistence is an example to us. How diligent are we to study the Word, to see all the riches that there are in Christ, the living bread. Sometimes you meet new Christians who are very, very eager. They've discovered a rich treasure and they cannot get enough of it. How about us? Many of us who have grown up with it, some of us born into the covenant, how eager are we to learn more about the living bread? How much time did you spend in the past week growing in your knowledge of what you have in the living bread? And how eagerly do we seek our well-being in Christ? In difficulties, when things go wrong at work or in our studies or in our circumstances, when we can't see a way forward, does that always drive you to prayer? And you also talk about your difficulties in that way. Only in Jesus Christ is there hope for my future. Are we clinging to this Saviour in faith? Israel was arguing. They were challenging Him. They were accusing Him. But they weren't seeking from Him all that they needed. They did not understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of David, was the only hope for the future. This Gentile woman, she did understand. And that's why she didn't go away, because where else could she go to? And so we can take great comfort from His response to faith. And that's our final point. Take comfort in His response to faith. I've been speaking about the Lord Jesus as the living bread, because this woman speaks about that. Well, the Lord Jesus Himself said, the children are getting bread and you can't give that bread to the dogs before the children have been fed. But that, using that name, living bread, for the Lord Jesus, there are things that the Lord Jesus said about Himself in John chapter 6. I am the living bread sent from heaven. Those who feed on Me will live forever. In other words, those who believe in Me will find in Me all that they need for everlasting life. And then He says also in that very chapter where He reveals Himself as the living bread, He says in John chapter 6 verse 37, all that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. But then He adds this, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. Anybody that comes to Me won't be turned away. And the truth of this was demonstrated to that Gentile woman. She came to Him And she was not turned away despite the urging of the disciples. Send her away, she's bothering us. She believed that he alone could help. And she wasn't disappointed. And her daughter was healed that very hour. And by healing this Canaanite woman's daughter, Jesus wasn't breaking a rule along the line of no Gentile should share in the riches of the kingdom of heaven before Pentecost. But he was establishing a rule. The kingdom blessings are for all who believe in the Son of David. And yes, that comes out in the text. The time in which she came, those blessings were still being distributed to Israel. That's where the focus was before Pentecost, before the gospel was sent to the world. But others who came, even in that time, were not turned away. And so she received richly from the Son of David. And so she became a foreshadow of the rich harvest that would come after Pentecost. When the gospel was sent to the Gentiles, and they, although from outside the people of God originally, they were brought in to the kingdom. But they weren't blessed in a different way from the believing Israelites. All, whether Israelite or Gentile, were made to share in the kingdom and its riches through faith in Jesus Christ, the great Son of David. And that is so comforting, congregation. By faith in Christ, we will all receive all we need for this life and the life to come, no matter the obstacles sometimes, and maybe not immediately, and maybe not until we have exercised ourselves long in prayer, and maybe not even in the way we were hoping. But we will receive what we need in all our circumstances. Because the Bible makes clear, not all of God's children are healed in this present life. And that it wasn't due to a lack of faith. But it is clear too, all who believe in the Son of David who rules from the Father's right hand will receive the blessings of the kingdom, will receive what they need to serve God in this life, will look forward to everlasting life as the forgiven people of God. Faith in Him, you will be blessed. And so confess your Saviour before men, congregation. Gentile comes to Him. And there's blessings too for her in the Son of David. This is your Saviour. Make clear, also in the midst of this world, that Jesus is the great Son of David who gives kingdom blessings to all who trust in Him. It's something you can assure people of. None who truly believe in Him will be turned away. They will enjoy the riches that He gives. That should be our confession in the midst of this world. A confession that should also be matched by how we live, looking to Jesus Christ in all our circumstances for all we need. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for the instruction of Your Word. Teach us all to cling to our Saviour for all that we need. We thank You that His kingdom and His benefits are for all who believe in Him. We thank You that we Gentiles have also heard about the bread of life that we've been brought into Your people. Grant that we may earnestly cling to Him. Also when we are in difficulties and struggles that we may never give up. Keep us, Lord, from all complacency, from half-heartedness or disinterest in our faith. Work it in us that we may treasure the riches that we have. That this may come out in our desire to listen to Your Word and study it. And grant that we may also share the riches that we have in Christ. That others around us may see the comfort we have, the joy we have. They may hear it from our lips, in our neighbourhoods, in our workplaces. That so many more may come to share in the riches that we have in Jesus Christ, the great Son of David. In His name we pray. Amen.